You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org.
Been with us the past 4 weeks. We've been in a series. If this is your first time, it's okay. You are jumping at the end of the series, but don't worry. Really, this whole series has been around the question, can I trust the Bible? And using that question as a way to insert ourselves into a bigger conversation, which is sometimes we struggle to ask hard questions because we're taught we shouldn't ask hard questions of the faith. We should just have faith. And that doesn't mean the questions don't exist or that we get answers to the questions. It just means we avoid them and just blindly trust. But the Bible actually encourages us to ask hard questions of the faith because they bring us to the answers that God wants for us. And so you are coming on at the end of the series of the question, can I trust the Bible? And spoiler alert, this whole series, we have learned that the answer to that question is what? Yes, it is yes. You can trust the Bible. We have looked at it from three different ways. We've looked at it from the perspective of it coming, the Bible coming from God's mouth. We've looked at the perspective of if we put the Bible on the stand and we were the jury, we would have to convict it guilty of being trustworthy and true because of eyewitness testimony. And then even last week, we talked about how just facts outside the Bible through a story of Lee Strobel convict the Bible again of being trustworthy and true, that even outside facts point to the Bible being a true document. And if it's true about what it says, it's true about Jesus. And if Jesus is truly who he is, he needs to be the Lord of our life and our Savior because he promises us something so great. And that's awesome that we can trust the Bible. Now, here's the thing. I need you to hang on these words because I'm going to say something and I don't even like saying it, but it's true if you let me explain it. Trusting the Bible, let me insert a word. Only trusting the Bible doesn't change you. Only trusting the Bible doesn't change you. I know, so it feels weird even coming out of my mouth. Like, only if you only trusted the Bible, it would not transform you the way that our faith should. I can convince you of this and bring you to my side. I see some faces that are like, Nate, I don't know if I like what you're saying, and I get it. Think about it this way. Maybe this is you. Maybe this is somebody you know. But do you know about like working out? Everybody know what that is. I'll be honest, I don't do it enough, but I know what it is. Part of working out, if you've done it, or if you talk to somebody who is diehard about working out, whether it's for a sport or just because they want to, they'll tell you working out isn't enough. You can work out all you want, but if you don't do another thing with it, nothing's going to change about you. And that other thing is called dieting, like eating right. I know all the, you got to eat broccoli. But here's the thing. You as a person, must know, and you do know, that it is better for you to eat a salad than it is for you to eat Domino's pizza, right? I know maybe it might. I'm not saying it makes you happier. I'm not saying it makes you happier, but it's better for you. Fruit is better than fast food. I hate that fact, but it's true. Water is better than soda. Like, you know these things, and you trust that if you do those things, you trust the sources that tell you that that is true. But that doesn't make you do it. You can know and trust that working out and even dieting is going to lead to a fitter version of you. But that doesn't make you go and work out and eat better. You're still going to Domino's, right? Same thing is what I'm saying. All right, let's reel it in. Same thing as what I'm saying with trusting the Bible. Just because you trust the Bible and what it says doesn't make you change your life. It should, and it should lead to that, but it doesn't do it on its own. You can trust every word that the Bible says and nothing about your life changes. I'll take it a step further. You can trust every word that the Bible says and don't believe in Jesus as it is. And that's the end goal. It's awesome. I want us to trust the Bible. We need to know that we can, but it has to lead somewhere for it to be good and valuable in our life. And so that's what I want us to talk about tonight. Great, we can trust the Bible, and that's awesome, and I want us to. Now, what do we do with that? What do we do with the information and do with the fact that we can trust the Bible? We got the answer to the hard question. Now what is kind of where we're at. Hey, if you'd like to take notes, we have notebooks in the back. We're going to be handing those up. All you got to do is raise your hands. If I can get some more adult leaders, I know we have a few out that usually hand those out. Raise your hand up in the air, and we will be passing those out with some pens. And would love for you to take notes. We ask that you don't take notes on your phone for the simple reason of the phone is your biggest distraction. It's also why we offer real tangible Bibles, and we ask that you don't even use your phone for your Bible because it's very easy to get distracted with that. As they're handing that out, we're going to be in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is where we're landing today. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in your Bible. So it's going to be, at the very front. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. We brought one for you. It should be on your chair or maybe your neighbor's chair. Feel free to open up to Deuteronomy 11. You see, in Deuteronomy 11, I know that a lot's going on, but if you can kind of pipe it down while that's happening, that would be amazing. So Deuteronomy is, all right, let's quiet down, We can do this silently. I believe in you guys. Deuteronomy is actually a book that's kind of in the same vein that we're asking this question in. So it's written by a man named Moses. You may have heard of Moses. Moses was a great person in the faith, and he actually helped Israel, the nation of Israel, who are God's chosen people, get out of captivity and slavery back into trusting and following God. And they had this huge moment where they left Egypt and they fled and they exited Egypt, and they're on their way to what God calls this promised land, this land that he had for Israel that was going to be great and mighty so they could build their nation. And then Moses, as he's leading, he starts to fall into the temptation of the people, and he starts to get angry because they keep asking him questions about, it's kind of like, you've probably done this, maybe you're on a road trip to a vacation, and you're in the car, and you're like 3 hours out, and you look at your parents, and you go, "We there yet?" And then they go, "No." And 5 minutes later, you go, hey, but are we there yet? And they go, "Nope, still two hours and 55 minutes out." 30 seconds pass by, but Mom, are we there yet? Hey, by the way, I got to pee. Pull up, right? Like all those things. Like we just stopped. So that's the people to Moses. And Moses may have acted like your parents, where they finally, the straw breaks and they say, stop talking or you're grounded or I'm taking your phone. All this stuff happens. And so Moses falls into this temptation and he snaps at the people. And so God actually punishes Moses and the people. And he says, hey, because of your unfaithfulness, because you kept trusting in yourselves and you stopped trusting in me, you're not going to see my promised land. But your children are. The next generation, they're going to see my promised land. And so you've got to wait. You got to walk around in the wilderness going from place to place until that happens. And so Deuteronomy is Moses' letter to the next generation saying, hey, the time has come. You are about to go into the promised land. I don't get to follow you because I'm actually about to pass away. I'm about to die. And so this is my last instruction to you as you enter in the promised land. This is the now what? This is the what can I get you to take away because of where you are? You're positioned in a place where you get to, you've got the answer. You're going to the promised land. Now what I want you to do because you know that you're doing that. AKA for us, you can trust the Bible. Now, what do we want to do because we know that we can trust the Bible? Picking up in verse 18, says this, Deuteronomy 11, 18. Moses says, you shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontal between your eyes. It's a lot of weird language there, right? Bind them on your hand, put them on your forehead. Basically, what he's saying is, hey, these teachings that I've told you so far in the first 10 chapters of Deuteronomy, and really first 10 and a half, also what I'm about to tell you, keep it close to you because it's good, because what I'm going to tell you is going to be important. So much so that don't just keep it inside, but bind them to your hand and your forehead. We don't understand this, but this was a sort of imagery for them. To bind to the hand really meant let your actions and decisions be dedicated to what I'm about to tell you. Like, let them be motivated by what I'm about to tell you. Let them be informed by what I'm about to tell you. What you're going to do with your life, the actions, the decisions you're going to make, don't make them without understanding what I'm about to say. Also in your forehead, hey, when you think and when you have intentions, let your intention and your thoughts even be defined by what I'm about to tell you, by the words that I have told you already and what is going to take place. Verse 19 continues on in the same vein. He says, you shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you're sitting in your house and you are walking by the way and when you lie down and even when you rise. Here's the thing. I don't think any of you have kids. If you have a kid, let's have a private conversation. But I still think there's something that we can even take away from that part. Because when Moses is telling his people, hey, obey this word, obey, in a sense, this was their Bible, okay? Think about it that way. So I'm going to start inserting that word. So when Moses says to obey your Bible and to believe what it says, he is saying, then also tell the people that are entrusted to you. For these people, he's saying, tell your children. For us, maybe it's, hey, tell your classmates. Hey, for us, maybe it's tell your friends, the people that God has positioned in areas where you are, your teammates, your siblings, your neighbors, your coworkers. Share it with them. And then he uses this term that I love. So he talks about three different places: home, on the way, and sleeping, and being like when you go to sleep. And he also uses three different descriptions of people: walking, sitting, and sleeping. To wrap it up, he is saying, let the Bible affect and take part in every aspect of your life. Whether you're sleeping, whether you're awake, whether you're walking, whether you're sitting, whether you're at home, whether you're at school, whether you're on a, you know, on the baseball field, football field, whatever, let God take part in it all. Obey his word, know his word, and let it affect and take part in every aspect of your life. He would continue this by even talking about, hey, write my words on your door. Write my words on the gates to your community. Meaning, hey, let what's happening in your life, let what God is telling you, what instructions you're given, the Bible that you have, the words that God has for you and for us to teach us and to let us know about his plan in our life and in the life of this world, let it be so a part of you that everybody knows it. That it is a part of even who you are externally. That when people see you, they go, well, I know they're a Christian. When people see you, they know, hey, I know if I'm in a hard time, I know who's going to pray for me. When people see you, they go, man, I'm looking for a faith. I know who I can go talk to because I know they are following Jesus. Picking up in verse 22. We're moving pretty fast here. I know. It says, for if you will carefully do all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all these ways and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you. And you will dispose nations greater and mightier than even you are. He's saying there's almost like a transactional, hey, if you follow God, good things will happen to you. If you do what my word says, if you do what the Bible says, if you believe what the Bible says, good things will take place in your life. He doubles down on this in verse 26. See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today, go after other gods you have not known. Blessing. Hey, know what your Bible says. Believe what your Bible says. Do what your Bible says. Good things happen. Curse. Decide, no, I want to do it my way. God has one thing for me, and I know that he says something's true, but I think what I have is pretty cool. I think doing whatever I want is pretty cool. Blessing. Curse. God's way, good way. My way, bad way, right? Kind of understandable. But I think that can be easy to misunderstand. Because I think there's some people in this room that are going, Nate, I feel like I believe in Jesus. I feel like I'm following God. But, you know, my family member still got sick. I still got that bad grade. I still had something bad happen in my life. My parents did not get back together. What's going on? You said that if I follow God and believe his word and do what his word says, good things happen. I didn't feel very good. What do you mean? I know it can be hard. But the cool thing about what God's word says, and truly, I think what even Moses is meaning is, hey, no matter the circumstance you go through, what God's words gives you the ability to take joy, to take peace, know that everything is going to work out no matter what. Not be defined by your circumstance. Not be defined by the trials that are around you. Because here's the thing, trials happen. Circumstances come. There's nobody in this room that can say, I've never gone through a hardship. Newsflash. There's nobody in this room that can't say and won't say, there's a hardship in my life that's still to come. But let me tell you, the people that are faithfully following after Jesus are the ones that are the most joyful, even when it happens. Even when it takes place, that are still smiling, that are still trusting God, still knowing there's a reason for this and it is okay. I'm going to get through it. My family's going to get through it. My friends are going to get through it. We are going to be okay because we know the end of the story. Listen, I know that I just threw a lot at you. But what Moses is saying right here, it doesn't happen if they just trusted Moses. And Moses knows this. They don't get to live the life that God has for them if they just trusted Moses alone. Saying, Moses, I know what you said is true. That's good. And I appreciate you letting me know that. Good to know that I can, you know, we need to obey God's word. That's great. Thanks for letting me know that. Check mark. We listened to your final speech. You can go on now. Their lives don't change. And we would say the same thing about the Bible. You can sit here and go, Nate, that's awesome, man. I've listened to you for the past 3 weeks of why we can trust that the Bible is true. And I love that. Thanks, man. Oh, you want it to affect my home life? No. Oh, you want it to change how I speak to my friends? You want it to change how I joke? Whoa, you're getting a little too personal there. You want it to even affect like what I do in my free time? I can trust it, but I don't have to let it change my life. Hey, Jackson, can you keep it down for me in the back? I appreciate it, man. So what now? What now? If trusting the Bible doesn't change my life, what does? You can take one thing away today. It's this. Don't only trust the Bible. Study the Bible. Don't only trust the Bible, study the Bible. Use the Bible for what it's meant to do. Hear me say this. The Bible doesn't save you. The Bible doesn't save you. The Bible's sole reason for existing is to introduce you to the only person that can. That's Jesus. Study the Bible. Learn about who Jesus is, our Savior. Learn about our need for Him. I know you can already feel a need for something more. That's our story, is that we can't fill our hearts with, we can't fix ourselves. We all know we need somebody to fix it for us, and that is Jesus. And then once you've learned the story of what it looks like to trust in Jesus, read the Bible and study it and learn how to follow Him. It's in here. We just study it. It's not enough to trust that it's true. We have to change our lives because of it. Now you're wondering, Nate, how do I study the Bible? So glad that you asked. I have a really quick tool for you to use, and it's even coming with a handout that I'll tell you about, and it's called the SOAP method. It's very easy to know. SOAP. Hopefully you all use it already, okay? If you don't, time to start, all right? The SOAP method. S-O-A-P. S. Scripture. Read the Bible, and look for verses that stick out to you. Don't just read it to read it. Reading it to read it means not reading it at all. Read it looking to gain something from it. Scripture. Finding verses that you go, man, this sticks out. This is something that I connect with. This is something that I need to hear. Write that down. O, observation. Ask the question, what did that verse say? This verse stood out to me. What is it saying to me? What is it telling me to do? What sticks out to me about it? What is the writer trying to tell me right now? Observation. A, application. If that's what the author's trying to tell me, what do I need to do because of it? What does God want me to do based on what I just read? That stuck out to me. This is what it's saying. What do I need to do? What do I need to change about my day to apply that to my life, to make that true about me? What do I need to do extra? What do I need to stop doing because of what I just read? The P, very simple, prayer. All right, if this is what I read, if this is what it's saying and what it means, this is what I'm supposed to do because of it, man, I can't do that alone. Ask God to help you do it. That's such a simple prayer. I think sometimes we're like, well, if I pray to God, I got to pray for 15 minutes. No. Hey, God, I just read your word. This verse stood out to me. This is what I believe it says. And this is what I need to do because of it. Help me today, right now, do that. In Jesus' name, amen. 15 seconds. We need to be a praying people, but we need to be targeted praying people. And that's part of it. We've been doing this all series. And I've really enjoyed it. But it's only good if you do something with it. So we've been handing these out. We've been advertising these. These are just a Bible reading plan. I know that got bright, didn't it? It has been our goal this whole series to make Bible reading as easy as possible for you. If you have not taken advantage of grabbing one of these, it is a Bible, it is a New Testament and a year plan, meaning it tells you what to read, when to read it. It makes it so simple for you. Take it home. Use it. Take advantage of this. I'm telling you, if I was in your seat right now, I would love this. So many of us go around going, Nate, I want to read the Bible, but I don't know how. Let's make it easy. And then take one of these home. This is a SOAP method written out for you. It's even got the questions. Listen, I love that you're here. Hear me say that. Man, I'm so glad that you're here with us. If you've been here for like every Wednesday or even most Wednesdays or maybe this is the first time, second time, third time, man, I could not be more glad that you are with us. That you're in church on a Wednesday night. That's unusual. You're already going an extra mile. I'm so proud of you. But if you're not taking something home with it, what are we doing here? And we need to be changing our lives based on what Jesus says, because if it's true, which we proved that it is, it's the most important thing that you could know. That you are dead in your sins, dead in your brokenness, knowing that something was wrong and we couldn't fix ourselves, but that Jesus came to do it for us. And that if we believe in him, we're clean, we're good. We have the greatest and best relationship with God that we were ever meant to have. And now, he tells us how to follow him. He writes it out for us. He gives it to us. And it's here. All the questions that we're like, man, how do I do this? What do I do because it's, how do I respond to this as a Christian? How do I do this as a Christian? It's here. You just have to read it. And not only read it, study it. Reading, just read, not reading at all. Studying the Bible changes our lives. It transforms who we are. We want to make it as easy as possible for you. I do this every day. because I can't just read the Bible and go, God, what do you have for me? I need something. It's not a crutch. This is not something that's like, I need something else because I'm not good enough to read my Bible alone and get our. This is a helpful tool that God wants us to use to better know Him. Use it. Grab it. They're going to be on those black tables. Like, this is going to be on a black table out there on a black tabletop. And this is going to be great. Do one. Just grab one. If you know a friend, grab one for your friends. I want to end with a question. This whole series, I want to end with a question. What would change in your life if you not only trusted that the Bible is true, but studied the Bible? What would change in your life if you not only trusted that the Bible is true, which it is, but you took the next step and you said, because it's true, I'm going to follow Jesus and study the Bible? I can tell you three things that for sure would change. And I think we'd all agree these are good things. A, don't you think you would know the Bible better? You study the Bible, wouldn't you know it better? Not only that, I think we would believe in Jesus more. We would believe what he says is true more. If we believe in Jesus, believe in Jesus more than we do right now, I think we would follow him much closer. If I can tell you anything is true, life that is following Jesus, best life you can have, that I can have, that all of us. I want that for you. I want that for me. I want that for this room. I want that for this church. I want that for DeLand. Hey, we got one last song. If you have any questions about what this looks like in your life, I'm going to be right up here singing with you. Come grab me, tap me on the shoulder. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to pray for you. Right now, let's take our next steps of worship. Pray.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.